Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCPW 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I am Al Warren. Not that anybody cares. Now, on the other side of the planet, we have Mr. James Martino.
Where did James come from?
I don't know. It came to my head, and I thought,
oh,
you kind of look like a James. No, you would look like a Dave. You're Dave. Dave. A dude. Anyway, we're back. And if people noticed, our schedule changed this week. And we had the guest, which was initially going to be Monday's show. Hmm. We sort of had a bumpy road, and we decided that...
sort of.
Yeah, well, we decided that it didn't really fit our format, so we kind of canceled that show. So... So the schedule's changed. People notice everything's changed up a day, and we'll have a new, I think we have Hank Philippi Ryan for the Friday show now, and everything else got bumped up.
Excellent.
Well, yeah. Well, it could be worse. You could be Alec Baldwin. I mean, you know, you could be having a worse day, right?
Yep.
Things could have been worse. Anyway. So now we have a returning guest. This is exciting. She's got a new book out, and this is book two of her series, and the book's called Larugo, I hope, and our guest is Anna J. Wallner. Thank you for being here.
Thank you guys for having me back. It is awesome to talk to you guys again.
Yeah. So listen, so this book is about conspiracy, right? you are the international bestseller of conspiracy. So what's going on today? Like, what do we need to know?
So the conspiracy is that the colony really does exist in the outback of Australia. No, the second book in the series will be releasing November 2nd. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always an exciting time. If you, it's strange, but when you are working out a book and going through like kind of like your final edit process, did you find that the most stressful?
I've learned to accept it. I think I've come to a place of self-acceptance with that process. It is certainly not as fun as just getting everything out on, you know, the original rough draft, which is very messy and does need a lot of cleaning up. But it's wonderful to see how you can add some different things in there, some different layers, some textures to the characters themselves and to the storyline, and kind of play around a little bit in that final edit of the book. So I'm actually currently doing that with the last book in the series, the fourth book right now.
Oh boy, you're maniac. You're like crazier than me. I mean, I wouldn't.
It's not a competition, Alan.
No, but I got to get to work. No, but do you notice that? Because I went to a different publisher for two books here, and got a deal, and I know that the one that was in editing here, quite a bit came back in the sense that surprised me, and I don't know if this is going on in the fiction world, because these ones were nonfiction, so they're kind of true, but certain words now are being kind of changed, like for instance, I when I was talking about a ghetto, I wasn't allowed to use that word, and it took me by surprise. Is that going on in the fiction world too, or
not that I've been aware of? I'm always quite judicious when researching proper names, because Aboriginal culture is like the name for Ayers Rock is Uluru. And so when I'm researching topics like that to pay proper homage, I do my research. Although I haven't run across in my works any cases where the vampires or werewolves in this situation have needed any kind of editing on proper verbiage or titles.
That's interesting. I was going to say, do they not have... I guess, you know what, vampires and werewolves are sometimes shown as enemies, right?
Mm.
And in a way, wouldn't that be kind of like a race problem?
It can't, you touch on something really interesting in the second book, which is acceptance of both cultures coming together as one. And that's something that I did need to approach that from a really judicious viewpoint, in where we notice where there are a couple of instances where, one of the main characters points out, we're not, the same. You don't view us as the same, and we don't view you as the same. And it's up to them to kind of come together and overcome those differences in cultures and dynamics. Because in truth, the Larugo and Garkane societies are very much different. But it's about combining those for a greater purpose against an evil that is, pursuing the colony in and of itself. So the entirety of the colony is being threatened. So they're forced to overcome these differences. So there is a little bit of social commentary there in the undertones, if you're deft enough to pick up on it. But for the most part, it really is just a story about both sides coming together and forming one unified colony, which they do end up doing. So I'm kind of giving a little bit away, but yes, that does end up transpiring, and everything is a lot better than what they had originally thought that it might be. And there are some challenges to overcome and some really big surprises along the way, because what is a book in the series without some twists and turns? And you'll find a lot of those in the second book.
Oh, great. So now you're telling me the vampire is going to marry a werewolf and they're going to have babies. I hear that all the time. What next? They're going to marry their dogs, right? anyway, that's so how long did it take you to write this series? Like, I don't know if I asked you this before. I'm thinking about this before we get into the length. Did you already know what you were going to do with all four of these books ahead of time?
I did not. I knew what I wanted to do with the first two books in the series. And as you will see, there's kind of a shift in... So we do have a new person that is introduced. So there's also a lot of... So Amelia and Roan from the first novel, they do solidify their union and take their place as the leaders of the new combined colony, being one of vampire and lycanthrope heritage, and then one of pure lycanthrope. And so it's a combining there and in them. And then, of course, you know, taking over leadership and making some changes that benefit both sides, doing away with some laws and customs that no longer serve a purpose now that they have the ability to make the rules. And then you'll also see that we introduce a new character into the mix who causes quite a stir up.
Well, how do you decide... So when you've got an existing series like this going on, how is it that you decide that what kind of a character you're actually going to add to this? Is it more about what you want them to do or become or add to the story, or is it about the character themselves?
That's a great question. It really has to do with where the narrative of the series goes. So I know where I want things to end up and how I'm going to go about getting there. And the characters kind of help, you know, to make those decisions on their own as I'm writing them, because I know where they're going to end up, but I'm often surprised by the decisions that they make along the way. And that leaves the door open for other chances to perhaps go in a different direction. And in fact, the character that is introduced in the second book completely changed the next two in the series, the third and the fourth book. Where I wanted to originally go, I went in an entirely different direction because of this one character.
Well, I'm wondering, do you consider your characters, your vampires and werewolves, do you consider them more, I guess, more like superheroes than monsters?
I consider them more as a different type of human being. So from a genetic standpoint, they're just simply made differently than, you know, a regular human being having to, you know, embrace who they are and their differences. But they are essentially human with a few perks.
Oh, so they're hung. Hmm. Well, so how do you set your rules? Like, I've watched a lot of things on vampires and werewolves over the years, you know, movies, series, right from the originals from the books to the, you name it. There's tons of them out there.
Right.
So what do you draw from for rules, or how do you decide on what vampires can and can't do and what hurts them and what doesn't? And same as the werewolves, like, so is there a certain standard you just follow, or did you just do what you want to do?
I'm kind of going through that right now in the fourth book, sort of an origin story and explaining some of the mythos behind where some of these, you know, things have originated from. Why the cross, why the holy water, why the things that we've always associated with vampires, why the silver with lycanthrope. And so, but when I was writing the book, whenever I first started writing the series, I took everything that you just mentioned and I threw out most of it because it's been done and it's been overdone and it's been done very badly. And to the point where I would search for a book and it was the same regurgitated storyline, but with a few different, you know, minor changes here or there, and everything felt stale and stagnant. So I really went in tossing the baby and the bathwater completely out the window and redesigning, you know, both vampire and werewolf lycanthrope from the ground up. So I went in with a completely different mindset from anything that you've seen before.
Well, that's interesting. So what did you draw from then? So if you're kind of taking what's used a lot, you know, in kind of everybody reuses a lot of these same ideas or rules, let's say.
Right.
So, and you're going, okay, well, I'm throwing them out with the baby, you know, poor baby. But, so now you're starting with, from scratch, I guess we would say. So you're sitting in your room and you're going to go, well, so how do I, because I'm guessing now you're going to have to try and outline.
Right.
These standards and rules before you do the book, or maybe during, but you've still got to have them, because once you set them, they're there.
I did sort of start from tabula rasa, but I knew that you had to have certain things. You did have to have a shifting aspect for lycanthrope, but I said, let's make it completely different from any shifting aspect that we've seen in previous books and series. And so I changed up the rules where the full moon is no longer an issue. It's an every day, every night kind of thing. And then with the vampires, I knew that, of course, there had to be the teeth. But then we go into whether or not they're able to appear as normal citizens in Australia and in public, and be completely incognito. And how would they go about doing that? And so then we come in with a scientific explanation for how that's possible.
Well, that's, you know, what was your favorite rendition, or, you know, let's just say book or series or movie or whatever. What's your favorite vampire representation besides your own? If you had to choose one, what would you do?
I'm a huge fan of the Vampire Diaries. I'm a huge fan of the Twilight series. I grew up reading those books whenever I was in high school, and there's a lot of nostalgia attached to them. But there were so many things that I disliked about the series, and so I wanted to try and find something that was different. I could never find anything that was different, and I always ended up DNFing the book, which means did not finish. And so I decided to write my own, something that I wanted to see done differently, something that I wanted to see that was fresh, that was vibrant, that would make readers see vampires and lycanthropes in an entirely different way that they had never seen before.
Did you have to do a lot of research to get the science right in explaining how the vampirism in your story works?
I did do some research, but I have always been a documentary addicts. So whenever I sit down to watch TV, I don't necessarily watch sitcoms or shows, drama shows, dramatic shows. So I'm not up on all of the popular Netflix shows that are out there right now. What I prefer to do is watch documentaries. So that's how I relax and unwind, is to learn something new, which sounds very strange. But I've always been fascinated with science, with genetics, with, you know, all different sorts of things. Anything that I found to be intriguing, I kind of have this sponge for a brain. And everything that I see, I tend to retain in part or parcel something. So I drew on a lot of experience, and I did verify the facts that I was incorporating into the book.
Yeah, I love watching documentaries too. I'll choose those over the movies. I'm usually disappointed in the movies nowadays, or a lot of Netflix stuff. Especially the series, they seem to be really way too much drama for me, you know. But that's me. Nobody cares. and so when you're going out and doing the research, like, so for me, with true stories and nonfiction, you go out and you actually find the people, and you get to meet them, and you talk to them, and people involved, doctors, lawyers, you know, whatever, cops, and all that stuff. Mm. So do you actually ever go out and hunt for vampires or people that live that way, and maybe date a few, or?
That's G14 classified information. I cannot, I'm not going to deny.
Well, you know.
I've researched the actual mythos, where the origin stories, you know, came from a long time ago. I've always been fascinated with, you know, the stories that you hear of the supernatural in general. And I think that we've already talked about this, but I've always been fascinated. So anything that I could find to read, do research, or to find in a documentary that piqued my interest on the subject, I would watch and, as I said, retain that information. So that would be my form of vampire lycanthrope research.
Hmm. So what do you hope people get out of this? You know, the book, the series, the whole idea. Like, are you just looking to entertain?
Absolutely. It's an immersive experience. It's escapism at its best. It's delving into a world where, you know, where I don't want to sound cheesy, but where true love really does exist, where cultures can come together and fight against the singular evil. You're rooting for the good guys. You want to see people succeed. You want to follow along, and you want to see how all of this is going to pan out. You have a favorite, and you want to see the best for them, and then something goes horribly awry, and it just leaves you wanting to know, craving to know the ending or the beginning of the next book. I have quite a few people who are very insistent on receiving those advanced reader copies last week.
Oh, well, they're probably vampires. Well, it's really interesting. So are you more of a classic writer, and you sort of believe that you need a happy ending? You want to have a story that there might be challenges and change and disruption, but at the end of the day, everyone's going to make it, kind of, or be, you know, it's going to be good. No, you don't. So you basically, you're going to kill everyone off.
Again, G14 classified. You guys are getting into some, you know, nosy Nellies over here. I believe that there needs to be a shakeup, and so you will. There will come a time when, you know, characters will no longer be among us. But we are still in Australia, by the way. Speaking of which. Mm-hmm. For the second book.
We just had people that tell us that Australia doesn't exist. So, I mean, you know, which is it? I can't figure this out.
Well, I have friends there, author friends, and they seem pretty real to me when I talk to them on the phone. So I'm going to have to go with fact on that one.
Well, have you noticed any motifs, any type of anything that comes up again and again in your fiction, besides the obvious, like the werewolves, vampires, and stuff of that nature?
No, love is always at the center of everything that I write, and I think it's because I am at heart an absolutely hopeless romantic, and the book, I have another pen name. And I have a book that will be coming out in March of next year, The Nymphetamine Girls. and it deals with, it allows me to delve into some very difficult and adult topics that are not often talked about. And so you will see that I have a multifaceted ability to write different genres and different age ranges.
Well, why a different pen name? Like, for you, like, why is it just that you need it to separate it? Or like,
I did it. The subject material that's contained in the Vanessa Morris books are of an adult nature. They have trigger warnings and resources for hotlines at the end of the book. So it deals with some very heavy situations, especially dealing with young girls and social media and how being caught up in that fame and that validation, need for outside validation from strangers can be so dangerous to your self-esteem and the issues, the psychological issues and side effects that come from that. So I decided to take on a pretty deep topic, and I didn't want anyone picking that book up with the name Anna J. Wallner, because I didn't want them to assume that it was YA. I wanted them to know that it was distinctly different, so everything written under that pen name will be distinctly different.
Do you have pictures in the book? No. No, but I just so
no.
What are you when you say that, you know, that there's this real need, desire to be appreciated by people you don't know on social media. Now it's become a way mm-hmm. of life. And as we are a little right. bit older, you know, the younger people, you know, kids, children, they grow up with it from get-go. So they know no other way. So they, right. they, it's part of just like we brush our teeth. It's just something that they do. What's the answer for something like that? How do you overcome that with someone that knows nothing else?
Right. And it's a very difficult thing. I remember growing up in high school, and there was MySpace, and Facebook was only for kids in college. You had to have an EDU at the end of your username. No, really, to log in. That's how it first started. And now social media is everywhere. And I see pictures and videos of young girls that are trying to attract the wrong type of attention. And so we have two girls who are best friends, and they are living for the likes and the comments and the adoration of these faceless admirers, and basing their own self-esteem, their own self-worth, their own, everything off of what other people think about them. And then when one girl decides to break apart from the group, how that can be so devastating to, you know, to the other party's psyche and to their...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Their mental health and how we rely. We've seen so many times bullying and of young girls and terrible things being said online, and to the point where it becomes a very serious mental health issue. And that's something that I wanted to address, that it does happen, that these things do go on. It's also LGBTQIA representation as well, that I wanted to make sure to highlight in here, and that we touch on implied versus explicit consent, because I don't think that that's necessarily talked about as much as it should be.
Right. What do you hope comes out of that? But like, so when you write under that other name, and you want, what, so what do you want people to get out of those books? Are you
awareness.
Aiming, so you, are you aiming it for adults to let them kind of in on something and wake up, be aware, or are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Awareness. Because I grew up in an affluent neighborhood. I didn't grow up in an affluent neighborhood. I grew up on a farm. And when I moved to this neighborhood in junior high, it was a completely different experience. I was in a Nissan Maxima pulling up next to Lamborghinis, Porsches, BMWs, Land Rovers. And these were 16, 17 year old kids that had this kind of money. And the parties that were thrown, it amazed me at what little supervision or no supervision there was, or parents were drinking with their children, or even doing drugs with their children. And I wanted to incorporate that into the book. So there is a little bit of truth in some things that I have seen even in my day back in the 90s, of behaviors that I saw going on. And I know that still occur today. And so I was so scared and called my mom. I still remember. And I was like, you need to come pick me up now, because I don't know what is going on. I've never been to a party like this. And but all too often, you know, it's very alluring, this world. The more validation that you get from your friends and your social media following to continue these types of activities, it's alluring and addictive. And it can become, you know, an addiction. And I wanted to highlight, there are so many topics in this book that are highlighted that young girls face today.
Vanessa, what is that? Vanessa Morris.
Morris.
Do you have like a different makeup and hair and, and picture and all that on the book? Like,
no.
You dress up kind of differently and nobody knows who you are, you know?
No, no.
Well, that would be fun.
It's still the same person behind the computer. It's still the same person typing on the keys. It's just from a different place. And I want to try and have that pen name have a real message behind it. This one happens to center on, and I think I would like most of them to center on mental health. And it's about overcoming past traumas and moving forward and self-acceptance and knowing that the things that you have gone through in the past don't define you, and you have the power to change your future. Make any decision that you want to be at any time to change the path that you are going down.
Well, see, now, Dave, this is a book for you. I'm just throwing that out there. So. Well, so that's really an interesting sort of change. It seems so different than, you know, the fantasy books.
Right, it is.
And it's also got to be a different way of writing and putting it out there, you know, because you have to be more, how do I say, I don't want to say more real, but more truthful with yourself and kind right. of talking about these things and putting it out there. And you, I'd imagine with these current social media days, you'd have to be very careful on how you word things and that too.
And it's taken from social media that I've observed. So it's not untruthful in the terminology that I use. It's things that I have observed and things that I know go on and exist. And so it's, you know, there are pieces of the mental health aspects that I am careful to tread lightly on. But at the same time, I don't pull a lot of punches with this book because I want it to resonate very deeply, to really make an impact.
Well, you also mentioned in your bio that you have social anxiety. And I was just mm-hmm. curious, I think I do too myself, how do you deal with that social anxiety doing, you know, signings and events for your writing? I'm just curious about that.
I do put on kind of, it's the same way as when I used to be, you know, in my role in Big Oil and Gas. You know, you put on your... Mm. You put on your dress and you put on your makeup and you play that, you know, you summon your inner boss pretty much. And, you just kind of go for it. And once you're there and once you're in the moment, those anxieties sort of fade away if you can focus on the task at hand. But yes, I have incorporated anxiety into the book as well. There are so many things that I just really wanted to touch on, but overcoming your past, as I said, because, you know, that's something that a lot of people struggle to do, is to move forward. So there is at the heart of this a healing kind of love that, you know, helps to solve or heal the brokenness inside of us. If we only let those people in to stand beside us and walk with us through, you know, the darkest times in our lives, how that can be a really healing experience.
Hmm. So
very deep. I know. Very different from vampires and werewolves and so maybe that helps to kind of, you know, drive home the point why I felt the need for a different name, because when you're picking up an Anna J. Wallner book, then you know that there is lighthearted, fluffy, YA appropriate romance or new adult romance, as we'll see in the third book. It gets a little spicier. But it's all lighthearted and it's all, wouldn't say really lighthearted, but it's not quite to the depths that you'll see in Vanessa Morris, which is more of a really deep dive look at the human condition and psychology, because I do have an undergrad in psychology and I drew very heavily on that for writing a lot of the parts in this book.
Wow. So we have to be careful how we talk. She's analyzing us right now. You know,
whole entire time.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Be
kidding.
Put us away.
Yeah. It's the next book.
It could be. It could be. Who knows?
I tell you, I'm plenty of books to be written about me. So you got Whips and Chains in the Vampire?
No, good Lord.
Well, you said it was getting spicy in book three.
I said spicy, not volcano.
Come on. What's a little whip and chain nowadays? Come on.
We do see some more description. Ooh. And adult language that is used. So the new adult label had to be assigned as opposed to young adult, which the first two books are YA appropriate. It is Fade to Black Romance, which if you don't know what that means, it's also termed as closed door romance, where the scene ends and before any sort of description of the act is put into the book. And in the third book, we don't stop at the closed door. So you get to, yes, there's more. you get more to the story in the third book. So,
do male vampires manscape?
What the?
I mean, NBC hasn't canceled me yet.
You know what, Alan? Corner.
Oh no!
I almost want to go back and like and rewrite a chapter just for you to address this question, because I've never in my life, whenever I was writing this book, this series, and got to those parts, I never, not once, thought to include anything about, you know, personal hygiene in that particular manner.
Well, you know, because
so you make an interesting point.
Well, if you think, because that's the be the difference.
Don't encourage him.
Because werewolves, of course, would not want to do that. Wolves, all the hair. They're like the, you know, the bears, so to speak. And then you've got the vampires. Of course, they're all tidy, well groomed, well mannered. And Manscaped. So, you know, that's kind of like one of those cultural things they don't like each other for.
We just kind of don't go there, you know?
Well, you said that's spicy, you're opening the door, we're walking through after, and so let's see
what happens. Well, I will say that the intimate scenes do take place while in human form, so.
Well, there you go, see? These are important points people will be thinking about, especially the younger audience. Will, you know, young romance, they're going to be thinking about it because it's a very trendy thing.
If someone directly emails my publicist asking for a...
Well, let's get on that. Listeners,
you know,
I want listeners in a big way.
If someone directly, you know, writes a review that says, I was just so confused because I wasn't sure about the condition of pubic hair.
Yeah.
Well. Then I will publicly address that issue.
Well, okay. But you remember you said that here. So now I want all the listeners to send an email.
I will.
Asking about this question. If you think about this, I want it sent. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My contact information is on at annajwalner.com. It's down at the bottom where it says Creative Edge Publicity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Mickey, now we know that he's interested in that. So come on. I mean, you know, he's a professional, right?
Oh, so. Yes, I'm sure he would love to get those emails.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, give him something.
Just everyone just bombard him with those emails. Yeah, that would be hilarious.
I want it all happening.
I need answers.
Yeah. And I want everyone just to get on it and send. Just keep writing them.
He's going to fire me.
No. Come on. I mean, you know, that's not going to happen.
Curse your name.
Yeah. Somebody's got to. And no, it's all good. It's all good. I think I'm just seeing if it's a little bit more modern times. You said young romance. You know.
Okay, let's, for your sake, Alan, let's go ahead and answer the question, because I don't want you to have difficulty sleeping tonight. Yes. Yes, they have an on-call esthetician there within the colony that offers waxing services, which both Garkane and Larugo do utilize. How about that? There we are.
Do their fangs come out when they pull the hair off? I, you know, I was,
Well, that's
I told you not to encourage him.
Yeah, you're just going to get you're going. You are just a nasty girl. You are. Well, that's fantastic. So, now your website, of course, you've talked about that, and we'll have that up, of course, and people can send in the emails and all that stuff like that, and hopefully it's enough to bring down Mickey's website. But I have to ask, are you bringing in current conditions into book two or three now? Or are you kind of moving up into, you know, pandemic and things like
no.
that? Or you're totally staying away from that?
You know, I've seen a lot of conversation between authors about this, about whether or not to even include the pandemic in their writing, because it does seem to be something that is, we just can't seem to quite get past this. But for me, I made the, you know, the conscious decision to just not mention it. And so to let it be what it is, as in the same way that you wouldn't reference the common cold, or it was a bad flu season in Australia this year.
Right.
Of course, vampires and werewolves, you know, they don't get colds. But,
well, that, but,
or the flu.
Well, but, you know, couldn't they get COVID? Like, couldn't this kills a lot of people?
No.
But couldn't they pass it on to other ones that they're with, so to speak, you know, like humans? I mean,
we don't have.
What?
No.
Vampires
no.
are carriers.
It's got a whole
oh
new
God.
Reason to kill them, right?
No. No, I did make that conscious decision though, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, at some point this too shall end, and it, you know, it will end up being something that will be talked about. But I think there's so many books that have been written about the pandemic. I just didn't want to include that in the books, because it's meant to be more about the characters. That's all of my books are very character driven and plot driven, not environment driven. So it wouldn't really serve the purpose of the narrative in either the Allure Legacy series or in the Nymphetamine Girls.
So, you know, you are character driven and you're very involved in your characters and love and the story and, mm-hmm. and all of the things. So how do you walk away from this? How do you end a series like
that? Oh.
Right? I mean, without telling us, you know,
I know.
You know, this is it. But how do you just sort of go, okay, that's it. Done.
I know.
I mean,
I want to keep them around. I want to selfishly write a fifth book in the series just to have the characters continue to, because I enjoy spending time with them. I know that my readers enjoy spending time with them. So when I'm writing, I'm also living that narrative as well. And I get to enjoy my time with the characters. But it came to a point where I really looked at the series and I said, this is where it ends. This is where it ends. And perhaps there will be, I've been asked for novellas or short stories to answer some questions about some of the very side characters. You know, I would love to know more about Michelle, you know, or I would love to know more about Robert, or I would love to know, you know, Anatole's story before he came to the colony, what it was like in, you know, 18th century England. And so I've been asked for that. So maybe at some point I may visit the possibility of taking on a character's backstory or giving more information into a specific character. But that would be done in a very short form. It would not be a completely different series. It wouldn't continue on for the series. I really do feel like the series came to a resolution in book four, where we circle back fully, which is what I wanted to do, and touch on, you know, the origin stories of both vampire and lycanthrope, and then have it come full circle and close everything off with a resolution that would be, that readers would really appreciate. So it's been difficult to do the entire series justice. The first book, I would say, the first and the fourth book are by far the most difficult books, because you want to get people invested in the characters and in the narrative in the first book. And you want to do the series justice and give readers the closure to the series that they really desire. So there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Well, you could do a spinoff. You know, you could have one of your characters, like Robert could have his own spinoff. He could turn
Robert's
into
Robert's not really that interesting.
No, but, you know, then you find out that he's really like a vampire esthetician, and he's, you know, doing some, had a spa, you know, something going on, and he had, you know, he would, I don't know. It's just an idea, of course, you know. But
I'll take it under advisement. Thank you.
why does everyone keep saying that? They're going to always take my ideas under advisement, but I never see them published. So I don't know. I don't know.
No, I just can't explain that one. It's a mystery.
Well, so when you walk away from this, like, you know, book four's out, you know, put
yeah,
yourself
it's sad.
In. So then what? Then what does Anna do? Like, where do you go?
Oh, man, where does Anna go? As someone in my life might tell you, I have picked up an obsession. So there is a particular point in history that has always fascinated me and been a sticking point in my mind that I've never been able to fully let go of. And I'm constantly reminded that I'm obsessed about it and just write the damn story. So I have right now it's a historical fiction. And I can't say anything more about it because it is being queried, is being shopped at the moment. So, but it is historical fiction. So that is what is coming next for Anna J. Wallner. As far as Vanessa Morris, I have some ideas in mind, but I'm not sure which direction I'll be going at this time.
Well, does it matter to you how well Vanessa does? Is it it's about maybe kind of people that get back to you, or, you know, reactions and stuff? Is that kind of where Vanessa will go?
Yeah, I think so. I think it really, it's meant to be just a platform to really discuss some of the darker topics in society or within the human psyche that we have that we don't necessarily address or want to deal with. And at times, you know, the feedback that I've had on the book has been fantastic. But the emotions are, you know, very vibrant, and, you know, I cried. This hurt me so badly, but it deeply resonated with me, and it woke me up to so many things that I never even knew about. And I realize, you know, just how important mental health is and taking care of yourself, and, you know, I'm going to keep a closer eye on my kid and their social media. Right. And you know, some of the things that people, you know, overall love it, but are deeply touched and sometimes triggered by certain things in the book. And for me, that's whenever you know that you have something that's going to resonate loudly. And I expect both positive and negative on this book. And that's kind of what it needs to be talked about. It needs to be written about, and it needs to be put out there.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds really draining. It sounds kind of a little stressful too.
It was very difficult to write. And whenever you're going back through and doing the final edits, and you're crying, the author is crying over certain scenes, and that's how I know I'm like, this is you know, this is going to get someone. This is going to change possibly someone's outlook on something. And that's so, you know, I would love that. I would love that.
Well, you know, you sound so much happier, but this time, not that you were unhappy last time, but you sound a little bit more relaxed, more free flowing today than the last time we had you on the show. So I just wonder, you know.
I was nervous. Well, no, I was nervous the first time.
Nobody's nervous when they're around me. They just want to get away. No, but I was just, but you know,
well, maybe that was it. My fight or flight response was kicking in last time.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe your life has gotten better. Or?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. Oh,
well, so do you like, well, you're dating Mickey now, aren't you? Oh, I was going to say, so can't you play Anna one day, and then you play Vanessa the other, and Vanessa's got the whips and change, and she's the real
tiger? Oh, my dear.
You know? I mean, let's start. Listeners want to know what's really going on with this.
No, absolutely not. No, it's nothing like that at all. Yeah. Just because I write something that is a little bit darker does not mean that I actually am that person. You don't see someone who's, you know, who writes about, you know, certain things like the vampire, like, you know, the Allure Legacy series. You know, I don't wear fangs, and I don't walk around, you know, in a cape or anything, you know, and trying to pretend that I'm a vampire. I might for Halloween, but not on a day-to-day type of basis.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's just, I just thought I'd throw that out there, you know, dual personality, dual writer, you know, you never know what's going on here.
No, hey. But yes, very happy, very happy. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, but, very good. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. We're all happy that you're happy. You know, that's important. But anyway, the new book will be out probably
November 2nd.
So that's the day after this airs. So everyone's going to be real thrilled to run around and get it. And remember, everybody, send your emails. And, you know, because we want this. And we really want this to go. And while you're at it, ask Mickey if he's Manscaped, too.
My God.
So our guest, the great Anna J. Wallner, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Tired of wasting time trying to decide what to watch on your streaming service? Go to our website and look for the Martino Movie Reviews.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Have been completed.
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.